from Lloyd. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All the drama yesterday in Euro qualification. We'll talk about it tonight. Soccer Matters, Daspit Law Firm is on the air. And we are now through with the international window, so it's back to business in domestic leagues all around the world. Today we're talking Copa America, Premier League, the international window, thoughts and updates, crazy scenes with Georgia, Poland, and the Ukraine all qualifying for the Euros. Local action, Houston Dynamo back at home looking to make it three in a row, taking a full 9 points out of nine after a stunning late goal to beat Colorado. We'll talk about the Dynamo and Dash tonight as well. Plus, we're going to break down Colombia. One of the hottest teams in the world right now. I think it's 2021 games under Nestor Lorenzo. They have not lost, the 58-year-old Argentine coach. And they will be coming to Houston. And as we all know, we have a lot of Colombian, very, very, very passionate soccer fans in our city. So that is going to be something special. I'd be lining up for those tickets, frankly. Colombia-Paraguay. That's the second match we'll have here. But we're going to talk about the Colombian national team here tonight. All right, big day for me. I'm happy. I'm in a great mood. I am 50% weight-bearing on my knee surgery leg. This is a great day of joy for me, Guillermo.
That sounds amazing.
It's not that amazing, but it's definitely a small step in my minuscule life. That's for sure. Guillermo, did you see any of this drama around the Euros and the qualification of these countries, Georgia, Poland, and the Ukraine? The Ukraine really jumps out to me, first off, before I hear from you, simply because of what's going on in a war-torn country.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it means so much for the players, for the country, and the emotional value is truly unmatched.
All right, so let's do a little review of what happened yesterday. I don't know if you saw this, of course. We're going to start it off with Nika Yevkefshkiri scoring the last penalty, win it for Georgia over Greece. All my Greek friends, Billy Safidis, I feel bad for them. But Georgia, this is a really historic moment. It was wonderful. Here it is.
Si la mete, está en la Euro, Georgia. Silva el árbitro. Penal para estar en la Euro. Tiro, gol. Militaya mete a Georgia la Euro.
So Georgia advances, and the scenes after that were incredible. You know, this is a small country. This is a big, big moment for them to get to the Euros. By the way, only 24 teams in the Euros. Some may say that's too many. That's it. Chesney saving Daniel James's penalty of Wales to win it for Poland.
Se toma todo el tiempo. ¡Chip! ¡Lo falló! ¡Polonia! Es el último invitado a la Euro 2024, aunque el árbitro dice no. Aunque el árbitro dice sí. Lo acaba señalando y es Polonia.
Polonia, Polska, Poland. They advance, and then Mykhailo Mudryk, who plays for Chelsea, who they spent huge, huge money on, scores the game winner for the Ukraine. It kind of a sweeping hit at the top of the box. This comes in the 84th minute, and it caps a two-goal comeback, 2-1 over Iceland. So it is the Ukraine in big joy that wins. Here's what it sounded like.
Siga goal. Retrasado hacia el centro, el tiro, gol. Mykhailo Mudryk lo hizo, recibió el balón por el centro, le pegó con parte interna, el balón se le iba abriendo el arquero.
Here's what it meant to the manager Sergei Rebrov after the game.
I think it's definitely a very important win for all of us, for our country, for our players, and I'm personally very pleased for the players because these two games was very narrow, very difficult. And of course, before the games, after the game, we are telling all this win is for our supporters, for our country, for our people, for our soldiers who is now protecting our freedom. In this case, I think everybody understands how important this win now.
Now, that man, I remember playing for the Ukraine. Now, you saw him relate this to what's going on in their country and for morale and to win. But Sergei Rebrov was a phenomenal player for the Ukraine. I played, I think, 75 times, scored some goals for them, played for Dynamo Kiev, played at Spurs. People might remember that, played a bit at West Ham. Ruben Kazan, Shakhtar Donetsk, was a heck of a player. But you heard him there talking about what it meant to the country. So there you go. So it's all set now for the Euros this summer. And I put this question out, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. What tournament this summer, or what are you most interested in this summer? Is it Euro 2024? Is it the Copa America? It's in our backyard. We got games here. Amazing. So these are essentially World Cups of continents. Is it the Olympics? Maybe you like watching the younger players. What tournament? Maybe it's the Leagues Cup. I'm not sure I'm going to get too many of those, but maybe it's the Leagues Cup because it has Lionel Messi. And, of course, the Dynamo, that's where they kind of took off last year through their competition in the Leagues Cup. It helped platform them and do a great second part of the season. 713-780-3776. For you, Guillermo, which tournament is it?
Definitely La Copa America. I might be biased since there's games literally in our backyard and Mexico will be playing and possibly Argentina. So being biased or not, Copa America, just I can't wait for the summer.
Yeah, the fact that it's in our city, that kind of is the tipping point, I think, as well. So we have June 9th, Brazil coming to play Mexico in College Station. So we all know what's going on with Mexico right now. There's just all kinds of turmoil. Everybody's having their say. I have a few more notes to close out on that tonight. But June 9th, so that's in Aguiland. That's at Kyle Field, Brazil, Mexico. That's pretty incredible. That's one that you're not going to want to miss, getting a shot at seeing Brazil. But then the Copa America proper starts. Group play with Mexico, Jamaica, then Colombia, Paraguay, and then a knockout match July 4th. And if Argentina wins their group, that would be Argentina there at that game. You can get your tickets, all the information, LSSE.net. And I'm going to go into Colombia right now. And what you're going to understand, and everybody that, I mean, this is an educated audience, you know that these South American teams are littered with Premier League players and players playing all over the world. So I'm focusing in on Colombia tonight at 713-780-3776 for a couple of reasons. One, because they're playing here. Two, because under their manager, Nestor Lorenzo, they're undefeated in like 21 matches. Say he's a 58-year-old Argentine. He took over the team from Ronaldo Rueda. He has a long time been an assistant coach. Leganés, which, by the way, we all know about Leganés. Argentina, the under-20 national team, full Argentine national team. He then became a head coach at Melgar in Peru, but he also has been an assistant in Mexico with Toluca and Tigres and an assistant with Colombia before getting the full job. Okay, so they knocked off in this friendly window. They beat Spain. Spain didn't field their best team. Daniel Munoz, fantastic goal. This is the way they lined up. Camilo Vargas is that older goalkeeper, a lot of experience, back-to-back titles with Atlas during that remarkable time a couple years ago. Johan Mojica plays at Osasuna. I'm trying to get an interview with him. He's at Osasuna, left back. John Uchemi is at Bologna. Carlos Cuesta is at Genk. So that's you're playing in Italy in the Serie A there. You're playing in Belgium. Daniel Munoz is the right back at Crystal Palace in the Premier League. Luis Diaz, as everybody knows. I mean, this man is a relentless winger up and down that right side. I mean, you know, the guy's got three lungs. He literally can wear people down, technically sound, Luis Diaz is the big star of this team now, even I think even more than James Rodriguez at this point. Jefferson Lerma is at Crystal Palace as well, Premier League. And then you got a bevy of guys that are playing in the Russian Premier League. Jorge Carrascal is a playmaker type, Dynamo Moscow. Kevin Castaño is at Krasnodar. And John Arias, very talented, Fluminense. And then in that game against Spain, they started a guy with limited caps, Mateo Casiero, who plays at Zenit St. Petersburg. So it's really interesting where Colombian players are. And, of course, we all know that MLS is full of Colombian players. There's not a team that comes in that doesn't have a Colombian player on it. This is one of the great places now to get value in MLS between there and Argentina and the South American countries. This is where Major League Soccer is really leaning heavily to. I would just say this as a warning. Much like the Mexican League got overrun by a lot of Argentine players that, in my opinion, were not better than the Mexican players, yet seemed to get the opportunity. I don't know if that's because of deal-making and agents, but that's hurt the game in Mexico. I'm a little concerned about the opportunity Americans are getting in MLS. I think this is real, and I think if you look at the rosters and the starting 11s of teams, Dynamo, it's usually 2-3 players, right? Doesn't mean more don't play in the game, but they're, you got your goalkeeper, important position, and Steve Clark. You got your right back, Griffin Dorsey, pretty much consistent. And after that, it's been Ethan Bartlow, but when Sviatchenko's there, that's one less. So, it's kind of interesting to look and see where MLS is now with the American player. And that said, the product has definitely risen. And you'll hear that tonight because we do have a really, really interesting interview with Jan Greguš, who grew up in Slovakia, the Dynamo midfielder. So James Rodriguez came on in the second half of that first game. But they beat Spain 1-0. Then they beat Romania 3-2. They got a goal from John Cordoba. So let me take you back to the game winner against Spain. Even though it was a mixed Spain lineup, it's Daniel Munoz scoring in the 61st minute.
Anoche, toquecito atrás para Porro, se quedó corta la entrega. Cortó Arias, Mojica al frente, ya la tiene James. Pelota profunda de James para que vaya con todo Díaz, que le empieza a dar dolores de cabeza a Vivian. Lo va a encarar Díaz, por fuera Díaz, lo caracolea bien, mete el centro a Díaz, es un golazo. ¡Claro que sí!
Now, that Comenturista, he had some good Colombian, and I'm talking about coffee. That guy was jacked. That was pretty cool. 1-0. Okay. Then they would go on, and they would play Romania just the other day. John Cordoba in the 6th, John Arias in the 35th, Yasser Asprilla. 3-2 scoreline was a lot closer than it really was. Yanis Hadji, the son of the legendary Georgi Hadji in the 84th, and Florin Tanase for Romania. Difference was Cordoba got the start up front. James Rodriguez got the start behind a striker. In this game, they played sort of a 4-2-3-1, very differing. Against Spain, it was more of a 4-5-1. So, I guess the point I'm really making here is this is one of the hottest teams in the world right now. Talent abounds, and they're going to be here in Houston. And we got a great Colombian fan base. That is going to be a fun game to be at because Colombian fans are a lot of fun. All right, England played Brazil. This was a great friendly. When we come back, we'll talk about that. We'll also get into the Houston Dynamo and a lot of other news out there that's really pretty interesting, I think, that comes out of both the NWSL, comes out of Major League Soccer. You got Man City and Arsenal this weekend. This could go a long way with the title. By the way, John Stones and Kyle Walker both get injured on international duty. What does that do to the Man City run to trying to win the title? We'll talk about that. Good news, Liverpool fans, anybody who wants the red Soccer Matters t-shirts or the orange ones for the Dynamo or the Netherlands or the Dash, get them now, LamontBrands.com. They're all in stock now, red and orange. LamontBrands.com, all the proceeds to the 501c charity, Snowdrop Foundation. YouTube Soccer Matters, get over there, a lot of different content. Pre and post game Saturday before the Dynamo and after the Dynamo game against the Earthquakes. So want you to get over there and check us out. We had really, really good people phoning in, good comments, good questions after that game. Hey, ever want to experience the closest thing to a live match? You do it. Pitch 25, largest soccer beer garden in Houston. It's the place for you. Over 70 screens, 100 beers on tap. That's a lot. 100 on tap. Indoor soccer field. Pitch 25, the ultimate fan destination for Copa America, Euros, and World Cup qualifying. Head over to 2120 Walker and Edo, Houston's go-to soccer bar. It's Pitch 25, right in the shadows of Shell Energy Stadium. All right, it's Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. Stick with us. We come back for more of the best in soccer talk, self-proclaimed.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back, everybody. That's Tom Petty jamming me. My friends down at Cactus Music and my buddy Quinn would love that song. LamontBrands.com, Soccer Matters t-shirts and hats, benefits the 501c charity. We got red and orange in now. So get over there. They're only $20. All the proceeds go to the 501c charity Snowdrop Foundation. By the way, I picked the cotton out. I didn't want any of these heavy cardboard-like t-shirts. This is beautiful, light cotton, highest grade t-shirt you can get. It's only $20. We really should have priced them higher, I think. But the red and orange is there. So Liverpool Supporters Group, Manchester United, Red Army, Houston LFC, get them. And then Dynamo fans and Dash fans, we got orange as well. Hugh O'Connor's Pub, I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center, daily specials, whiskey and beer offerings, great bangers and mash, fish and chips, shepherd's pie. Don't forget, get over to Hugh O'Connor's Pub. Great place for watching games. Danish Inspirations, modern contemporary furniture. My house is full of it. Stressless lounge chair. I got a couch that could fit two families on it when it pulls out. It's a pretty comfortable. It actually came in very handy with knee surgery since I'm in a townhome. So that's getting us caught up on a couple of things here. Again, we got the Copa America June 22nd, 24th, and July 4th here. Okay. So let's start off with Brazil. Now, you know, friendlies are interesting. Sometimes they're not very competitive. They can get boring. Maybe there's 45 good minutes out of 90. England started out against Brazil. Really good game. Brazil front three of Vinicius Jr., Rodrigo, Rafinha. This game was a great game. 2-2 it ended up. Endrick would come on, the 17-year-old, and he would score in that one. Harry Kane did not play for England in this, but this was a really, really good watch when it came to friendlies this past weekend. By the way, England wore the black armbands for the legendary Terry Venables. So there you go. It was 0-0 at the half. Highly entertaining game. Ended 2-2. Neymar. Brazil still is pretty thrilling. And by the way, if we want to get a shot at seeing them, June 9th up at Kyle Field, Aggieland, Lone Star Sports and Entertainment, LSSE.net to get tickets. I'm looking forward to being at that one because that is not one that will be missed. Neither will be the Dynamo game this weekend. Okay, and then Brazil would go on and play Spain, another real thriller. This one ends 3-3. Lucas Paqueta scored 90+6, but the tying goal for Brazil that made it 2-2 was scored by this real phenom, as Brazil always has phenoms, the 17-year-old Endrick, who's expected to end up at Real Madrid. Here's what it sounded like in the 50th minute. This would make it 2-2 against Spain.
Anomo and Fabrizio Bruno also. There's Hendrick! The boy wonder strikes again and scores at the Bernabeu. The place which he will soon call home.
The boy wonder. Absolutely love it. So two friendlies with Brazil. He scores in both. So that's pretty remarkable. 17 years old. The name is Hendrick. Don't forget it. Big things happening for this guy. Quick thought here on Mexico. Just to factor in a few things of how things have gone in a different direction. Now, everybody's very critical about what's going on. I already talked about what we feel is involvement from Televisa. But a lot of things changed in Mexico. I mentioned the fact that, you know, deals were made. Argentines were coming in, taking Mexican players' positions. Mexican players paid well, happy, fat at home, maybe not taking the risk going overseas that the American player takes. We've got far more players performing at high levels on big clubs in Europe right now. I would also say another factor in player development in Mexico was the elimination of promotion and relegation. I really think that would factor into it also. All right, let's go back to Colorado. Houston Dynamo, at this point, have one shot on goal. They're defending, trying to get the point. They're playing to get the point. And then all of a sudden, Artur goes up with the big center back. He goes down. He's cut. Artur comes away eventually with the ball, hits the feet of Sebas Ferreira, who, by the way, let's give him more credit because he pulls off the center back who can't follow him, right? Because the center back's the only guy back there. He's got to stay in the middle of the field. So Sebas pulls away from the guy. Artur hits him real quick. And then there's Brad Smith, who's got the freshest legs on the field. And the guy can fly, takes off, and Sebas weighs a perfect pass to him, and he scores. Now, I'm going to say, honestly, this is a fantastic 3 points. It's 6 points in two games. You're going for 9 out of 9 now this weekend at home against San Jose. We're going to get into them in a second. But I will say, for all the money that Zach Steffen's making, that's savable. Okay, you're not going to hear that take because nobody wants to say anything negative because we don't want to be negative. It was a great goal. I'm not taking that away. But for me, that's savable. And Zach Steffen, you know, Tim Howard, William Yarborough, you know, big money has been spent on goalkeepers up there. He's got to save that, in my opinion. But glad he didn't because the Dynamo took a full 3 points. All right, so let's go back. Let's listen to how that goal sounded. Here's Brad Smith, the late game winner.
Rapids player still down. Oh, Bassett got up on that Rosenberry cross.
Now look at this, the other end.
Houston's breaking. Smith took the feed from Ferreira. Smith!
Oh, my goodness!
Brad Smith with a stunner! The Dynamo doing damage in Denver late!
Brad Smith, here he is on the win.
I mean, clean sheets, they win your games. You know what I mean? You create chances on the other end, but like I said before, the guys were amazing defensively, fought hard for each other, and that's what we have with this team. We have great morale and good bonds with between everyone and all our partnerships. So, very happy to get the clean sheet, and that's how you get wins. I didn't really know if today was going to count, so I was happy when the ref blew the whistle and to play the game, and then VAR was done, so I was very happy to score. And for me to come in and contribute to the team, it's massive for me personally, and to get 3 points on the road for morale is huge going into next week.
Now, this is a man, remember, that came back from a very serious knee injury. So these are all incredibly big moments. There were a lot of people not very happy. You know, what are we going to do? We don't have HH. We don't have a goal scorer. Well, now all of a sudden things look pretty interesting, don't they? 2-1-1, seventh in the West, 7 points, 1-1-1 at home, 1-0 on the road. 4 goals for and 3 goals against. Now, those types of numbers right there are very indicative of last year. Team that was excellent defensively, excellent possession-wise, I would say very, very good the second half of the season in getting into the final third. Not as good at chance creation. Maybe better, for sure better, but lack killer instinct. So you've got four goals in four games, and you've only conceded three. And you got Sebas Ferreira back. And that was the plan all along, was to give Ferreira the opportunity around this team to score goals. He came up with a big play on the road in Colorado. So Shell Energy Stadium this weekend, it'll be the fourth home match for the Houston Dynamo. San Jose comes in. They're 1-4, but they're coming off a 3-2 very dramatic victory over Seattle with Jeremy Abobase coming off the bench to get the game winner in that one. They will get back Carlos Grueso, who was away with Ecuador, very good midfielder. We will get back a very good midfielder in Coco Carrasquilla. So their 11 was William Yarborough in goal, who, if you remember, was someone the Dynamo were looking at. Vitor Costa is a defender. He scored a really, really good goal, just a reaction-type goal, Brazilian. You got Rodriguez, another Brazilian, as a center back. You got Bruno Wilson from Portugal. That's their back four, along with Paul Marie. Alfredo Morales, remember him with the national team, 16 caps U.S., played with Ingolstadt, was born in Berlin, Germany, was on New York City FC. Nico Shakirish, his father Sean is the assistant of the under-20 national team. He's been on the under-20 national team. He's only 18. He's a homegrown. Benji Kakanovic, Jackson Ewell, you'll know him as an American. And then Christian Espinosa, the Argentine, he had a goal in this game, played at Boca Juniors for about 15 games in 2017-18, but highly creative guy. It was a 2023 MLS All-Star, so Espinosa's one to watch. You can see him in wide areas, but you can see him central as well. And then they started Preston Judge up front over Jeremy Abobase, who had gone in the first couple of games, 60, 70 minutes, and got pulled out. Hadn't scored, but Abobase had scored in the last game. So my gut is that he is going to be back in the starting lineup, Jeremy Abobase. So they got a 3-2 win over Seattle, their first of the year. They're going to welcome back Carlos Grueso, and we are going to welcome back Coco Carrasquilla. And it'll be good to see if Sebas Ferreira gets a start up front and the Dynamo go after it at home and try to get a striker untracked. There has been something bannered around here today between the Dynamo and FC Cincinnati. These are some reports coming from different people that Cincinnati's going after a player named Kelsey that's at Shakhtar Donetsk, who's not been playing as much for that Ukrainian team as he wants. But they also mentioned that the Dynamo are in the bidding for him. He is a Venezuelan. You notice that there's a lot of Venezuelan players now coming to Major League Soccer as well. So I don't know how truthful all that is, but I wouldn't put it past it. So that's interesting that another striker being looked at by FC Cincinnati right after Brandon Vasquez went to Monterrey, right? So we'll see what happens there. Corey Baird was brought there to hopefully score goals, but I don't think that's happening right now. And I think he's playing more, a bit more as a winger for FC Cincinnati. Okay, I wanted to get a little bit more sound in that we didn't get from Greg Berhalter, the U.S. men's national team coach here. Here's Greg Berhalter. This is soundbite 18 on Copa America. Now, many of the fans are saying, for me, it's semifinals. That's got to be the target. It's at home. This is the perfect dress rehearsal for 2026. Your players are maturing. They are really, they're not kids anymore, even though they're all young. They have all had plenty of experience to, you know, steel sharpens steel, right? They're experienced now, and you can tell by the way they behave. I love the fact that Gio Reyna looked more involved. Obviously, it was a great tournament for him over the 2 days. I'm interested to see if Gio Reyna will play this weekend for Nottingham Forest. Now, here's a team in a relegation battle. They've been deducted 4 points. if I had a guy that's creative like that and can score goals, and I was struggling to score goals, and I was fighting relegation, something tells me I am going to put him in the starting lineup at this point. Why else was he brought there than to help you try to advance and avoid relegation, right? So we're going to see what he does this weekend, and if he's in that starting lineup, that's one I'm really going to be looking at, because I think that's an incredibly very, very interesting situation with Gio Reyna and going back to Nottingham now after, you know, having a spectacular game against Mexico, winning the man of the match and all those other things. Okay, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. We put the question out about which tournament would you be focused on this summer. There's so many good things going on. Great places to watch it. Pitch 25 over at Hugh O'Connor's Pub. So we put it out. What tournament to you is the most important? Well, here's a response that we got on X. This is from, who is this from? I think Jordan. I think it was Jordan, and Jordan said that, you know, it's Copa America because he wants to see how the U.S. men's national team does. But we're happy because Copa America is going to be here in Houston. This is Bob Marley. It's called Coming In From the Cold. And we're going to continue on. Coming up next is Jan Gregoosh, the Houston Dynamo midfielder. You're not going to want to miss this interview. He's really a very interesting guy growing up in Slovakia. Red and orange T-shirts now at LamontBrands.com. Get them, all the proceeds to the 501c charity, Snowdrop Foundation. Pre and post game Saturday. Go to YouTube Soccer Matters. We would love for you to register. YouTube Soccer Matters pre and post game for the San Jose Earthquakes and the Houston Dynamo this weekend. Dash are on the road at Bay FC against their former teammate, Caprice Didasco. Sophie Smith. Portland Thorns, highest paid now in the NWSL, along with Mallory Swanson, Rachel Kundananji of Bay FC, and Orlando's Barbara Banda. They're all making between $2 to $2.5 million over a couple of years. These salaries are driven in part by the growth of the game globally, I'll tell you that, and salaries in Europe. All right, we'll take a break. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Lamont Brands. Our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. 713, call now. The best in personal injury attorneys.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, Soccer Matters producer here. Guillermo Lazo Romero just wanted to let the listeners know that we will be giving out two pairs of Houston Dynamo tickets for this weekend's game on Instagram after the show tonight. So make sure to go over there and enter for a chance to win. All right, I'll get the final segment started now.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 as we continue on here tonight. Big thank you to everybody who's tuned in tonight and taken in the podcast. Of course, we always are thankful for our presenting sponsor. It is John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. All right, next guest, Houston Dynamo midfielder Jan Gregoosh, grew up in Slovakia, has represented his country 36 times, has been a part of the Dynamo midfield here as of late, exceptional games in the last two against Portland and Colorado, and Jan joins us now. Jan, thank you very much for coming on the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right, so I want to start off with a little bit of your history and growing up in Slovakia and, you know, your first impressions of football and how that became your sport.
Yeah, so, like you said, I grew up in Slovakia, and from the very young age, I fell in love with soccer. And my father used to be a soccer coach, so he was like a head coach of first team in the city that I grew up. So from the very young age, I was with the ball all day long, and that was my first kind of contact with the soccer. And I've been there until I believe 17 when I signed my first contract in Czech Republic. So I was until then I was like in academies and stuff, and trained there in the city of Nitra. That is like maybe a small city, but in Slovakia quite big. But in world size, it's only like 80,000 people. But yeah, that's the city I grew up, and when I get in touch with soccer.
So at what age are you technically a professional? I mean, you kind of go right into the training, right?
Yeah, so since 17 years old, 17, 18, that I still used to go, or like had to go to school, I remember. I had like some tests that I had to like attend like once in 3 months or so. I had to travel from the Czech Republic back to Slovakia to finish the test and finish the school. But from like 17, that's when I signed my first contract.
So how much pressure at that age did you actually feel? I mean, when you go to a pro club, that's the dream of many people, right? Not everybody gets to do that.
Yeah, right. So I had this vision from the very young age. I remember I was maybe, when I was like really serious about it, maybe I was like 15 and I talked to my dad and I was like, look, I really want to like be professional, like soccer player. That's my dream. He's like, okay, well, you know what you need to do. You need to work hard and things like that. So I think that that stuck with me until this very day, and I hope it's gonna stay like that. But that was my first kind of thought that I would be a professional soccer player.
Talking to Jan Gregoš, midfielder for the Houston Dynamo. You remember him on Real Salt Lake. We didn't like him too much when he was on Real Salt Lake because we were a little bit worried about him when we played against them.
Oh, San Jose and other teams.
Slovakia, 36 caps, 4 goals. Your debut, you get an assist against the Czech Republic. I mean, that had to be a real significant moment in your career, I would think.
Yeah, that was amazing. I remember me and maybe two of my friends. We'd been first time they called us to play for national team, and I think that game, and maybe two more was like last 3 games before the big. Like qualification for like Euros, and I remember all three of us played really good. And after the game, I remember I think it was Marek Hamšík that spoke openly in like a media that like these 3 young kids made a huge impression, and maybe our coach needs to think about them as well. So that was really amazing, and we did our best and helped the team to win. So that was amazing.
Well, when Marek Hamšík speaks well of you, that's a great thing, right?
Yeah. That's good, yeah. He's a very good guy and a great football player.
All right, FC Copenhagen in Denmark. You played in the Danish Superliga. You won the league there. You won the cup. Explain to us a little bit about playing in Denmark and that experience during your career.
Yeah, so even before I signed to in Denmark, in Copenhagen, I remember we played against them with one Czech team that I used to play. And with that team, we beat them. So after that game, they kind of like saw me for the first time and like showed the interest after. And basically I signed the contract when I was with the national team in France, I believe, on Euros. So that's when it all happened. And amazing club, biggest club in Scandinavia for sure, with all the history and titles and everything. And it was just an amazing experience to play with all the national team players there. The quality was so high, and amazing times.
So when you make that move, is the playing style different in the Danish Superliga? Do you have to adjust as a player? Are there certain things that maybe you had to adjust going to the Danish Superliga?
Well, of course, in every team you have like probably different style of play or just the little details. You basically, I would say, know how to play football in every club, but like the system and the little details, the mentality of the club and history and all these things, and the pressure of you of winning every single game was just massive, and that's why the club was so successful, because even if you drew a game there for Copenhagen, it's like a loss, you know. So they just keep doing their best, and they've been doing great past years. So I'm happy for them.
As a footballer, you have to enjoy the pressure, right? I mean, that's part of the fun of it. I mean, part of the fun of it is fans shouting at you, right?
Yeah, exactly. You need to thrive under pressure. And the more pressure you get, it's like a privilege. You know, pressure is privilege.
How do you feel the pressure is in Major League Soccer? Do you think it's enough? Is that an area that still needs to kind of grow in order for the league to even get even further better?
Well, I think the fact that, definitely can be better. That being said, I'm not saying that every team doesn't want to win the game, but let's be honest, it's also like a little bit different when you know that you're going to stay in the league regardless. It's different situation when you know that you can go, you can get relegated and such. But on the other hand, I still believe that every team wants to win and do their best. And the quality just says it. I think I keep saying it every year. The quality of the league is growing every year.
Jan Gregos joining us, Houston Dynamo midfielder. By the way, the Dynamo in action at home this weekend. They'll take on the San Jose Earthquakes, and we'll get to that in a minute because Jan was on San Jose. But, you know, back to that, do you enjoy the playoff system more or promotion relegation?
I mean, I've been in both, and, it's like this. When you are successful, you enjoy everything. You enjoy it regardless, so the most important thing is to win, regardless if it's in playoffs or relegation. That's the main point of every player and every team, I believe.
All right, San Jose Earthquakes are coming to town. This is your former team. What are your thoughts on playing against them?
Yeah, obviously I have many friends in the team, and I spoke with them on a few occasions before the game. And I saw their last game. They played really good against Seattle and got their first win under the belt. So good for them. Great team, good individuals. So I believe we're going to see an interesting game.
By the way, to Jan's point, 3-2 victory over the Seattle Sounders. They got a late goal from Jeremy Abobasi in that one. So the Dynamo will be taken again on this weekend. The San Jose Earthquakes at home looking to make it 3 in a row. You can get your tickets at HoustonDynamo.com. You had alluded a little bit to how Major League Soccer has grown. Now, obviously the quality of players, but what are some of the other things that in your mind has made this league grow? And, you know, you've been in it 5 or 6 years now. So I would assume even in that time period, you've seen a lot of change.
Oh, absolutely. And like I said, the quality of the players and you see all these quality players coming to the league, and that just helps the team with the quality and intensity is getting better and better. I think also more of the people are more interested in soccer. And I saw that that was also like a huge goal of MLS, like maybe 6 years ago when I came here, and they've been talking about this, like that the growth is going to leak year by year. And I have to say that's how it is. And I'm glad for it.
Jan Gregos joining us here tonight. All right, I always ask this question to players because it's interesting to me, because I have preconceived thoughts on the type of midfielder you are, like everybody else does. So what type of midfielder are you, Jan?
What type of midfielder? Depends what coach wants me to do.
Well, that's a good answer. But I mean, do you see yourself as more of a 6 and 8? Pigeonhole?
6 or 8. Yeah, that's basically the two that I play my whole life. For the people that don't understand, it's basically in the middle of the park. 6 is more defensive. 8, either next to him or a little bit more offensive. But I don't mind both. I obviously was in the middle of the park my whole career, so it doesn't make that big of a change. But I like to connect. I like to play with the ball, connect passes and a lot of passes in the game. So basically the things that midfielders do need to be good offensively and defensively as well, and connect the team.
I think once people see you play, they recognize right away your technical ability. How much time as a kid did you spend on the ball, you know, with your father helping you and all that?
Oh, hours for sure, all days. But I think that's the thing that that should be there always, you know, always like constantly improving, even at this age. I still believe that I can still improve a lot. It's not like something that you can't work on it every single day. So those are also the values that like my father taught me when I was a young kid. There's always something to improve, and that's what I try to do still.
Jan, you know, sometimes we're pretty sensitive about soccer in America. We're a little overly sensitive, I think, sometimes. That's just my personal opinion. And sometimes the tactics of MLS in the past have been criticized. How do you feel the tactical side of the sport and the coaching and the management in MLS has grown since you've been here?
I mean, I can just talk through my own experience and the coaches I've had been amazing and helped me a lot. I believe that like you can always learn from somebody and use it for your benefit. So that was the situation also with me. Every coach I had in my career, I tried to take something from them and use it in my own development, you know.
Jean Gregouche, he will be in action this weekend against the San Jose Earthquakes, coming to town Saturday. The Dynamo again, looking for three in a row. It's amazing, right? You pick up 6 points and how much things can change so quickly in MLS, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And the most important thing right now is to just confirm it at home again. Great opportunity for us, and yeah, to make it three in a row, especially at home, that would be amazing.
Now, you may not have been expecting to come to Houston at this point. Was that a bit of a surprise to you when you heard that they were looking after you? And obviously, they needed help in midfield with the injury situation and Luis Casado not being able to make it back to Major League Soccer, but kind of tell us how that happened, because, you know, you look at your career and you've lived in a lot of different places. You've played football in a lot of different countries, and it really is pretty remarkable the journey you've been on.
Yeah. So, thank you. but basically I was free agent. I knew that in Minnesota, my time is over. I knew that before the season even ended. So, that was done deal for me, and but at the same time I still kind of wanted to stay in MLS, and if there would be a possibility of like joining some quality club with a lot of ambition, I'd definitely be down to it, and that's exactly what happened with Houston Dynamo. So I'm very satisfied that it worked at the end, and happy to be here.
Jan, do you have a family?
No family, girlfriend.
Girlfriend. Okay, because I was going to say, you know, with families moving around,
yeah, definitely,
for a lot
definitely.
Of these guys, yeah. It's difficult, right?
Yeah, different with the family, but not family.
Good. So the last one before I let you go, how much do you watch San Jose going into this game? Obviously, you know them from last year. They do have some new players. You know, how much do you study the opponent and their midfield prior to these games?
I mean, not just midfield. Like I said, a lot of quality individual players, but also as a team. You have to approach them as a quality team that are good with the ball and can be very dangerous from the side and in attacking. So not just the midfield, but as a whole team, you definitely need to study them, and we showed ourselves some things. We're still gonna show ourselves some more to know the best about them, where they are the strongest, where we can like exploit something. So not just them, but I think before every game, it's very important to study the opponent and see how they play.
Do you study the opponents that you may be around a little bit more individually as well? You know, maybe that you're matching up with in midfield, or is it more just a general overall tactical look at the opponent?
It can be both. Definitely depends on also individuality. How good is it for you? You know, everybody's different. Many different things works for many different players. Obviously, I know the guys that play there, so it depends. But also, like the time I spend in the league, I kind of know already the teams, how they are, and the way they play and such. So, I kind of know already.
By the way, I apologize on the Real Salt Lake. It was Minnesota that you were.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay.
My apologies. All right. Well, I'm going to let you go, Jan. But listen, really wish you the best of luck. This has been an interesting interview. Your career has been interesting, and we're excited you're here in Houston. It's been a lot of fun to watch you play the game. So we look forward to Saturday night. Best of luck.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. Have a good day.
Jan, thank you for coming on tonight. So that's Jan Greguš, has represented Slovakia, as we mentioned, FC Copenhagen in the Danish Superliga. Jan Christensen of Danish Inspirations certainly will know that. And also, of course, has played here in Major League Soccer, now a member of the Dynamo Tickets at HoustonDynamo.com. That does it tonight here for Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Don't forget, you can get the podcast of this show, Spotify, Apple, Google. You can get it right here at ESPN975.com. Hit up our YouTube channel, Soccer Matters. Get over there. And we look forward to next week. And until then, I'm Glenn Davis. Remember, soccer matters.